Well, welcome to Grace Life London. It's such a joy for us to have you here. You'll see on your pew one of these little cards. We've recently launched a new evangelistic website called Mind the God Gap. And on the back, it takes you straight to some testimonies of what the gospel is. And it's really aimed at showing people the gap that sin causes between God and man, and how that gap has been bridged by the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another gap that I want to talk to you ladies about today. And that's the gap that we see daily in our lives between what we know and how we live. Now, you know what I mean, don't you? You know, those of you that have children, that you should speak with gentleness and patience to your children. And then they do, and you can fill in the gap. And you open your mouth, and out comes anger and impatience. Now, you know that you should lovingly and willingly submit to your husband. But then he asks you to do, and you respond with sulky manipulation. You know that you should respect your boss or parent or teacher, but when they ask you to do, you roll your eyes, obey with a bad attitude, and grumble to someone else about it later on. You allow yourself, I'm talking to me as well though, so when I say you, it's me too. You allow yourself to engage in the if-only game when regards to obeying God. You say things like this: I know that God's word requires this action of me, or this attitude, or this speech, or this service, but if only I had, or if only I didn't have, or, then it would be so much easier to obey. It would be different, and I would be different if only my circumstances were different. If only I had a godly husband. If only I had a different husband. If only I had children. Yeah, but if only I didn't have that child, you know, because I mean, that, you know, any other child would be fine. Or if only I had a job. If only I had better health. Things would be different, right? Wrong. You are as you are, and you respond as you respond, not because of your circumstances, but because of your heart. So I'd like you to open your Bibles, ladies, to Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 20 to 27. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27, and my text that we're going to be looking at today is verse 23. But just to put in a little bit of context, we're going to start in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. I'm just going to read our text again, which is verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, we're going to look today at three things that come out of this text. Firstly, what is my heart anyway? Secondly, why should I guard it? And thirdly, how should I guard it? But ladies, this is such a huge subject. This can only be an overview on this vast theme. Once you start studying the heart, you'd have to preach the entire Bible to, you know. So this is just going to be a skim over this subject. So let's make a start. Number one, what is my heart anyway? Well, your heart and my heart is who you are. It's the real you. It's your inner being. Proverbs 23:7 says this, "For as a man thinks in himself, so he is." As a man thinks in himself, so he is. Let's just think together of some of what our Lord Jesus said about the heart. You've got some of the references here, which you can look up later or quickly make some notes now. But Matthew 12:34-5, the Lord said this, "Out of the heart, the mouth speaks." Mark 7:21-23, "Out of the heart come evil actions," would be condensing that. Matthew 5:20, "Sins of the heart," the Lord says, "are worthy of hell." The book of Proverbs is overflowing with references to the heart. Here's just a few of them. Proverbs 16:23, "A wise heart makes for wise speech." Proverbs 12:25, "Anxiety weighs down the heart." Proverbs 14:30, "A controlled heart brings life to the whole body." And Proverbs 14:22, "A joyful heart does good like a medicine." Well, we're going to be hearing a lot about Spurgeon today, it seems. For those of you that don't know who Spurgeon is, it's not a fish, it's not a sturgeon. Spurgeon was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was called the Prince of Preachers. He was a London preacher in the 18th century. And when I was preparing this message, I'd actually prepared it a long time ago for something else. I thought, I'm going to start again. I just want to revisit this whole subject. And I read part of an amazing sermon by Spurgeon. It's just so good. I've got to use some of his illustrations. So Spurgeon describes the heart of man as being like a great reservoir. A great reservoir. From which the water flows to supply 100 streets and 1,000 homes. It's a great picture, isn't it? You can imagine this huge reservoir, and from it are flowing the pipes to 1,000 streets, or 100 streets, 1,000 homes. And our life, he says, may flow through different parts, or different pipes. It might flow through our mouth, or our hands, or our feet, or our eyes, but they all derive their source from the great central reservoir, the heart. Now, this word heart, tricky word, it's, well, in this text here, obviously it's a Hebrew word because it's the Old Testament. It's the Hebrew word leb. But I'm just going to quickly tell you what this word means, okay? It can mean heart, or inner man, mind, will, understanding, inner part, soul, knowledge, thinking, reflection, memory, inclination, resolution, determination, conscious, heart of moral character, seat of appetite, seat of emotions, passions, seat of courage. In short, every inclination, desire, thought, action, motive, or speech flows from your heart. So it's true that, as biblical counselor J. Adam puts it, he says it like this, "What your heart is like is what you are like." Now, at this point, I would be negligent, I think, if I didn't stop and just first of all ask you, how is it with your heart today? Have you ever put your trust in the Lord Jesus and received from him a clean heart? If not, then the central reservoir of your heart is still full of the poison of sin. Now, there's no point, ladies, trying to clean up your act. There's no point trying to take one of the pipes and take it out and get a nice new shiny one and put it in, because the water is still coming from the reservoir, yeah? There's no point trying to make yourself clean. You can't do it. Only Christ can renew and change and cleanse your heart. Now, we're going to be hearing more about that today. But don't misunderstand me today, okay? Today's message is not how to clean up your act, okay? The message today is how to guard your renewed heart that all Christians have received through Christ, okay? If you've not got a cleansed heart, don't start trying to guard it. Don't guard that uncleansed heart. Open that up to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him cleanse that for you. Don't hold on to a heart that's filled with the poison of sin. But, sister in Christ, I do want to use Spurgeon's illustration of the reservoir, and I'm going to do some drawing. Anyone that knows me knows I can't teach without drawing. So here we go. We're going to draw out, and you've got some of it there, and we're going to fill it in. This heart that we're commanded to guard. Okay, so what is my heart anyway? Let's have a little look. So I hope you will be able to see. So, I think I've done it like this. Okay, is that what you've got? Looks interesting. Okay, so what is my heart anyway? So we've said, need some other colours, sorry. That my heart is like a central reservoir. So we're going to have a little bit of blue here just to give, you know, a little bit of colour. So here we are, here it is. Okay, so it's flowing, and it's flowing out of, yeah, get it? It's coming out of here, and it's coming out of here, and it's coming out of here, and it's coming out of here. And it's all coming from in here, like that, swirly, swirly. Okay, so now let's look at what these, all those things I said that the heart meant, I've tried to squeeze them down to six kind of basic things. So let's start up here. First, number one is speech. Okay, now if you can see my little scribble here, which you probably can't, I've got loads of things coming off here. So the first, I'm not going to draw them all, but let me just talk you through them. So speech. Okay, so our use of language, our conversation, our expressions, our tone, gossip, slander, how we listen, comes from where? It's all coming from here, and it's all like little tributaries. So, when you speak, ladies, all you're doing is just taking the lid off your heart and letting us see what's in there. Your angry tone does not come because of that other person. It does not come because of that circumstance. All that does is reveal what's already going on in here. Have you ever noticed that two people can be in the same situation and one will respond angrily and one will respond patiently? Have you noticed that? It's not the situation. It's not that person. We've all said that, haven't we? But that person, he just makes me... No, he doesn't. It's this that's making you... He's just revealed that. Okay, second little pipe here is motives. Our motives. So what's our motives? It's our purpose in doing something. It's our incentive for doing something. Our motives are led by the things that inspire us, the things that drive us. Sometimes we talk about people as being driven, don't we? That person, they're really driven. Driven by what? Well, by what fills their heart. So every time we open this, every time we demonstrate a motive, it's coming from our hearts. Thirdly, actions. our conduct, our practice, where we spend our energies. What do you spend your time on, ladies? Our reactions to things, our responses to things. What kind of things do you exert yourself to do? Our achievements, our manner, our demeanor, even our countenance. You ever notice that about some people? When their face relaxes, it kind of relaxes into, you know, who they are. Have you noticed that? I used to work for years with old people. And some people, they were just beautiful in their 90s because they were happy and godly. Other people, they're like, really? It's like, dear. Yes. See what's been going on in your heart. You know, it comes out of your heart, doesn't it? Your countenance. Okay, next one. Thoughts. Our thoughts. Uh-oh. What's the object? Who is the object of our heart? Because the formation of mental objects comes from our hearts. Our anticipations, our considerations, our hopes. Things that we just meditate about. We muse on them. We reflect on them. Things that we give our attention to. What pricks up your ears? Yeah? What do you deliberate on? What do you daydream about? It's a very good question to ask yourself. When you're not thinking about anything, where does your thoughts go? Yeah? That will tell you what's going on in here. Next one. This is a biggie, sorry. Desires. Our passions. Our will. I will do this. The things that we dislike, the things that repulse us, our cravings, our wantings, our admiration, things that we're fascinated with, things that we're devoted to, things that we hunger for, things that we say, I need, I must have. It's all, again, nothing to do with what's going on around you. It's all flowing from the central reservoir of your heart out into your desires. Last one. Inclinations. Preferences. Leanings. Affections, whims, temperament, weaknesses. People just say, oh, you know, but that's just my temperament. You know, that's just a weakness of mine. Yeah, okay. Where's it coming from? It's coming from the central reservoir of your heart. Now, okay, let's just stop there. If all, and mine looks kind of a bit like that, but hopefully you've written a few on. If all these things are flowing from your heart, can you see just how important it is to guard it? Yes? I hope so. Okay, because our second point is, so why should I guard my heart? Now I'm hoping that by now that's a silly question. I'm hoping that you can see, well, you've just answered that question. Of course I need to guard my heart. You know, we need to guard our heart because our text says, from it flow the springs of life. Now, on your sheet, you've got a little line here, and it says here, if we want to grow in grace, in holiness, and in a godly walk, it's vital that we guard the source of our life, right? Let me read that again. If we want to grow in grace, in holiness, and in a godly walk, it's vital that we guard the source of our life. Let's just think about it. If we want to close that gap that we talked about at the beginning, yeah, there's the gap between what we believe and then how we act, yeah? If we want to be closing that, we need to know, well, what's causing my speech and my responses and my thoughts and my actions to come out, isn't it? This is what I know, but I keep coming out like this. So what's causing that, and how can I bring my heart in line with what I know? Yeah? So that's one reason. We need to guard it because it's the source of everything, ladies. It's the source of everything. But there's a second very important reason why we need to guard our hearts, and that's because our hearts are under attack. Let's go back and draw some more things. So it's under attack on three levels. Okay, firstly, okay, we've got one. Oh, suddenly Donna can't draw. Oh, never mind. That was first. There we go. It's under attack from the devil. That's our first point. Now, how are our hearts under attack from the devil? Well, the devil likes to sow doubt, distortion, and denial of God's truth. Doubt, distortion, and denial of God's truth. That's on one hand. On the other hand, he likes to promise to fulfill your desires if you will worship him. Now, let's just think about that. In the garden, there was Eve. What's the devil saying to her? Did God really say? Oh, but he knows that if you eat it, you'll be like him. He's sowing doubt. He's distorting. You will not surely die. He's denying. He's distorting. And now he's feeding into her desires. He's saying, he knows that you'll be like him if you take it. Think about our Lord in the wilderness. What was the devil tempting him? I will give you all these things if you bow down and worship me. But we have to remember, ladies, that his desire is to devour us. And we need to guard our hearts from him. Let's go over all those D's again, because there's lots of D's there. So he says doubt, distortion, denial. And he promises to fulfill your desires, but his desire is to devour you. Okay, a second line of attack comes from the world. We are just daily bombarded, aren't we? Daily bombarded by all kinds of impurity, ungodliness, wickedness, and lawlessness on every side, literally. And one of the things that shocked me more than anything moving to London from my nice little country home with chickens. But anyway, buses. I mean, you know, where I live, they'd come, you know, twice a day. But, you know, and it's all on the sides of the buses, isn't it? I mean, even if you don't have a television, you know, even if you, in your home, you kind of guard yourself, you walk out of your house and it's everywhere, isn't it? And it's horrible. It's in every form of media, everything you pick up on the bus, everything you that comes through your door almost is feeding into us ungodliness, wickedness, and lawlessness. But that's on one side. But on the other side, also, we're constantly being fed the lie that life is all about you. It's all about you. Ladies, you must have these latest fashions and colours, okay? You deserve. You are worth it. Yeah. The new shampoo, because you're worth it. You need it. Pamper yourself. Even just recently, I was at the doctor's. It was quite hilarious. At the end, he looked me in the eye and said, my dear, pamper, pamper, pamper. And I came away thinking, well, doesn't the Lord say deny, deny, deny? Grandpa number one, the latest, the newest. Now they're all held out to us, aren't they, as what they're, well, they're bringers of joy, bringers of beauty, bringers of health, family happiness, personal fulfillment. But what do those things do? Well, they feed into our if-onlys, don't they? Oh yeah, but if only I had this, because I do need it, and I am worth it, and I do deserve it. So if only I had it, things would be easier. Now, so, ladies, we need to guard our hearts from believing these lies and temptations, don't we? And it's all around us. So, we've got the devil, and we've got the world. But sadly, thirdly, all these things that are bombarding us. The temptation of the devil. Oh, will you have your desires? The world. This is what you need. It feeds into, unfortunately, our sympathizers with the enemy on the inside. Because we are under attack, sadly, on the inside by the flesh. We have internal sympathizers. That remaining sin that wars against the spirit. There's an author called Chris Lungard, and he described this as a haunted house so full of horrors that no scene director could stage it or gather enough monsters to fill it. Now, is it just me, or do you recognize that's about your heart? But I want, I need, I expect, I must have, I desire, I deserve, I don't want, I don't like it. These are the cries of our flesh from the inside. And we're being fed from here, and being fed from here, and our flesh is just rising up, saying, oh, I want, I need, and I expect, and I must have. So we've got a battle on, haven't we? Praise God, there is help. Phew, we can't overcome these enemies on our own, can we, in our own strength? Now, someone who's quick with their Bible, please can you turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 5, and shout it out for me. First person there, 1 Peter 1, 1, 1 Peter 1, 1, verses 3 to 5. Anybody there? Big voice.
Blessed be the God and Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again, living hope, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through the faith for a salvation ready to be revealed to the last.
Who through God's power are being guarded. Praise the Lord. We have a protector, don't we? We have the helper. We have the Holy Spirit. Ladies, in your guarding of your heart, don't forget to enlist his help. We need him. He is our protector. He is our helper. Don't forget to ask him. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13, somebody want to call that out? We have another helper, praise the Lord. Hebrews 3 verse 13. So we have each other, don't we? In our fight to guard our hearts, we have the protector, we have the Holy Spirit, but we also have each other. Now, our sinful flesh can blind us to our own sin, can't it? We're normally much better at seeing other people's, aren't we, than at seeing our own. But ladies, we need to love each other enough to be able to point out our sin to each other in love. But we need to encourage one another. When? How often? did it say in our text? Daily. Not, you know, a Christmas card. Is that the only time you encourage your sisters? We need it daily. We're all capable of falling, aren't we? Because we all have the flesh, and we're all being assaulted by the devil, and we're all being assaulted by the world. Don't think that either you or the person next to you is not capable of falling, because we are, and I am. Just think about it. The first perfect, sinless human being, woman, fell. She was sinless. She fell. Think of David. He was the great king. He was the man after God's own heart, wasn't he? He was the great, sweet psalmist of Israel. And he fell. So let's help one another. So, I hope you can see, first of all, what your heart is. I hope you can see how vital it is to guard your heart. Yeah? Why should I guard my heart anyway? This is why. We need to guard our hearts because from it flow the springs of life. We need to guard our hearts if we're going to grow. We need to guard our hearts because they're under attack. Okay, so are you ready for the how? Okay, let's look together at number three. How should I guard my heart? Now, the word translated guard here, I've actually got watch in my translation. This word can mean watch over or keep or guard. But the emphasis of this verse, let me read it again. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. The emphasis of the verse is on the word diligence. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Or you could say, watch it with all watching. Keep it with all keeping. Guard it with all guarding. J. Adams, again, in his own translation of this, he translates it as, above all that you guard, guard your heart. Now, for this section, I'm going to change the illustration just to help our thinking. So, have you got this? Can I rub it off? Okay. So, we're going to change the illustration from a reservoir to a garden. Now, I just mentioned a minute ago that I grew up in the countryside. I grew up in Kent, and we had a beautiful garden. It was huge. And when we first moved in, it was overgrown. And my mum did the most amazing job with that garden. But to start with, it was really hard work. Because the roots, you know, once sometimes you pull up a weed, but you're leaving everything behind, aren't you? She had to get... It was hard work. It made you sweat. She would come back all grubby and, you know, all her nails were all ingrained and she was dirty, but she was working hard. Lots of energy required. But over time, I have this picture in my mind. I was always lying on the grass, not doing anything, and my mum was weeding. Terrible, isn't it? But anyway, I just remember over years and years and years of diligently weeding that garden, I would watch her. And instead of all the hard work, she would get down and she'd just go like this. Because the weeds were so small, treading my skirt, that she'd literally just pick it up in her little fingers and just go like that. It was done. Just like that. It's wonderful. Because she kept and guarded and watched over that garden with diligence. Now, sisters, we need to weed our hearts. I'm going to draw a little picture. So we're going to imagine that we've cut our heart up. Here's the top of it. Here's the bottom of it. And in here are nasty, nasty weeds. I don't know. What do they look like? Something like that. You get the idea. Okay? So our hearts are full of weeds and we need to be pulling them out. Okay, step one in weeding your heart. Examine your heart. You have to know what's in there, don't you? But also, ask God to search your heart. Remember like David did in Psalm 139? Let me read it to you. Those famous words. Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So step one is you need to see what's in there. You search your heart, but ask God to search your heart. Secondly, confess. Confess to the Lord what you find, and then get digging. So first of all, search your heart. Secondly, confess what you find, and then get digging. So what are we going to be digging? Dig up those desires. I can't remember how much of this I've written on your sheet, but I think I put this. Dig up those desires that have taken God's place in your affections. Weed out those wants. Those wants that are so important to you that you're willing to sin if you don't get them, or you're willing to sin to see them fulfilled. It can even be, you know, we can have desires that are right, can't we? We have wants that are right. But as soon as we get to that point where we're willing to sin to get it, it becomes a sinful desire. It becomes idolatry. So dig up those desires, weed out those wants, excavate those expectations. Those expectations that cause you to rage, fret, or pout when they're not met. Have you noticed yourself doing that? When you don't get what you want, you're either angry, anxious, or sulky. Or is that just me? Hopefully not. It's easier to see in others, though, isn't it? And what? Don't do this, okay? Don't go away from today, and then you see someone being angry, and you go, oh yes, you know, her anger. She's just revealing the inner workings of her heart. Because she is, but take the log out of your own eye first, okay? Look at yourself. It is easy to see in others after a while, but you need to see it in your own heart. Okay, so what we're doing, we're digging desires, we're weeding wants, and we're excavating expectations. Okay, so here we are. Weeding. It's not going to be that easy, by the way, to start with. It's hard work. Remember the taproot, okay? Hard work. Sweat. Hard work. Okay, but then we're not going to just leave our garden empty, are we? What are we going to do with an empty garden? Plant. What are we going to plant in it? We're going to plant. Excuse me. Here we are, a little book. We're going to plant the Word of God. Now, does that mean that the weeds won't keep growing up again? What are we going to do with them? Keep on weeding. Keep on weeding. Don't give up. I mean, this is what sometimes happens. But I weeded that bed, and it's there, so I'm just going to give up. No, just keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. It gets easier as you keep going. But we're going to weed, and we're going to plant. Okay, so do you know what it says? You need to know. Do you know what God says is excellent? So in that moment where you're child says this and you respond like that, do you know how you should respond? Now, you probably all know the fruit of the Spirit. If I said, what's the fruit of the Spirit? You probably all know. Do you know? How about the aspects of love in 1 Corinthians 13? Do you know those? How about the wisdom from above from James 3? Do you know what it looks like to be wise? Now, I've drawn a stop sign in your sheet, and this is a very helpful illustration that I didn't make up. This is from a man called Phil Moser in a book called Safe in the Storm: Biblical Strategies for Overcoming anxiety. And this is really helpful too. You've got it in your sheet, haven't you? So I don't really need to draw it. When you find you're just about to respond in an ungodly way, or you know you always respond like that, stop and think. Okay, is it true? Is it honorable? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it commendable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Would that be me responding in love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? Would that be love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not seek its own, love does not keep records of wrongs, all those things? Is it? It should be. Take his word, plant his word, and then pray it back to him. Renew your thoughts with his thoughts. Now, I think you're all probably familiar with Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I remember a professor, I used to get to sit in on Tom's lectures at the seminary, it was quite cool. One of the professors said, now the problem with living sacrifices is that they keep getting off the altar and wandering off, don't they? You know, they say, I'm going to give myself to you, Lord. Here I am on the altar. Oh, I've had enough of that now, I'm off. So get yourself back on there. Be a living sacrifice. Stop wandering off the altar. Renew your thoughts with his thoughts. Replace your desires with his desires. So renew, replace, repent. Repent of your heart idols. And then ask him to change your heart. Ask yourself and ask the Lord, how can I take this situation right now and honor Christ in my thoughts, in my actions, and in my speech? Let me give you an example. Your child, you've told them again and again and again not to do something, and they're still doing it. And now you're getting irritable. And now you're getting angry. Because you want it to be nice and easy for you. You desire to have an obedient child so that people will think well of you. Don't you? Stop and remember God's patience with you. How many times has he told you the same thing again and again and again? Have you always obeyed? Remember his kindness to you. Remember his patience to you. And before you respond in anger, say, Lord, thank you for your patience towards me. Help me right now to honor you by responding in the same way to my child that you've given me. And when you don't, repent. Try again next time. Ask your child to forgive you too. Bring him praise. He's always worthy of praise, right? So how can this situation that I'm in, how can I bring him praise? These are just questions to ask yourself. How can I obey his commands? How can I show my reverence and my fear of him? How can I show my thankfulness to him? How can I show my love for him who loved me and gave himself for me? How? Well, surrender everything to Christ. If we think back to that idea of a reservoir, now let's imagine that there's just one pipe. Have one object, just one aim, one desire, and replace all your I must haves with I must honor and bring glory to Christ. I must have that. And that is my one aim, goal, and desire. Remember Romans 11:36. I've got so many of you to remember it. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So just think about this. So from whatever situation you're in, okay? It's from him, okay? It's through him. It's come to you through his kind fatherly hands, hasn't it? It's come from him. It's come through him. But it's also to him. It's something that you can use to steward to his glory, something that you can use to allow him to make you more like Christ, to work patience in you, which we're going to hear about later. You can take verses like that and say to the Lord, Lord, this is from you. I know it's come through you. Help me to use it to you. Help me to glorify it. Everyone knows Ephesians 2:8, don't they? By grace you have been saved through faith. But it goes on. Verse 10 says, for good works. Not by good works, but we are saved for good works. It's a really, really, really good question to ask yourself, ladies. Okay, what good work now, Lord? When you're in a situation, yeah? Lord, what good work now do you require of me? But let's be motivated by the cross. Let's be amazed by his grace. Thankful for all the Father has done and is doing and will do in our lives to make us more like him. By the way, that's his desire and purpose. So if we want one channel, if we want to take all our desires and channel it into one desire, what is God's one desire? It's to make you and me more like Christ and sum up everything in Christ and to bring glory to his Son. Remember, he's coming back. Set your mind on things above. Sister, you and I are to be diligent to guard our hearts. But remember, we're not in it alone. John MacArthur says, legitimate spiritual growth, this is the last thing on your sheet, takes work. In fact, Scripture teaches us that true sanctification is the product of God's enabling power and the believer's godly self-discipline. God's enabling power and the believer's godly self-discipline. Jerry Bridges, who's another author, calls this dependent responsibility. So we are responsible to obey, to put to death sin, but we're totally dependent on the Holy Spirit to enable us to do it, aren't we? So we're responsible, but we're dependent. It's like scales. Don't be like, I'm just dependent on the Lord, and don't do anything, but don't, I've got to work, and forget that you're dependent, okay? Keep it balanced. You're dependent, and we're responsible. So, I hope that we've seen together what your heart is, why we should guard it, how we should guard it. Let us cry to the Lord to help, enable, protect, and empower us as we daily, with diligence, guard our hearts, for from them flow the springs of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, it is sharp and active, and sometimes it hurts us. It does penetrate even between the thoughts and the intent of our hearts. Lord, but we want to be changed. We want to be those that please you. We want to be those that grow. Help us to guard our hearts. Help us to guard them diligently. Help us to be aware of how they are under attack and to take precautions. Help us to work and help us to trust. Help us to be changed by today, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that we are acceptable in Christ. And that we're only ever acceptable in Christ, Lord, even if we were the most diligent guarder of our hearts, we'd be no more acceptable before you, because our acceptance is all because of him. And yet we want to obey you, and we want to want what you want and to desire what you desire. Pray for each of these ladies here today, that you would help them to today and for the rest of their lives to consciously, diligently watch over their hearts, knowing that from them flow the springs of life. And we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I've been told that I didn't help you very much with your worksheets. I think I missed a few bits out, so I am going to whiz through the gaps, okay? Ready for a whiz? Page one. Our heart can be likened to a great reservoir. I hope you've got that one. Okay. Did you get that one? Page two. If we want to grow in grace and in holiness and in a godly walk, you got those ones? Attack from the devil. He sows doubt, distortion, and denials. Yeah. Attack from the world. Attack from the flesh. And then, under section three, the emphasis of this verse is on the word diligence. Watch with all watching. Keep with all keeping. Guard with all guarding. Yeah. Dig up those desires. Weed out those wants. Excavate those expectations. Yeah. Don't just weed, but plant. And then I think that's where I lost you. Be motivated by the cross. Be amazed by his amazing grace. Be thankful for all he has done, is doing, and will do to make you more like Christ. Be diligent. True spiritual growth takes work. And then that final quote was, sanctification is the product of God's enabling power and the believer's godly self-discipline. Okay, do we have them? Okay, so this next session is going to be split between myself and Jennifer. So halfway through we'll have a little wiggle and readjust things at the top here so Jennifer can come and minister to us. But that sermon I was talking about earlier by Spurgeon about the great reservoir, he made, this again is completely pinched from him, four ways to keep your heart. And I just thought they were so good, I didn't want to leave you without those four ways. But again, we're going to do a little bit of digging as we go. Now, the first way to keep your heart is keep it pure. Now, this could be a whole session in itself. It's such a huge subject. We could have spent the whole of today talking about purity. So obviously, I'm not going to do that. But let's just think a little bit what we've already talked about. We need to keep our hearts pure from our idols, don't we? Now, those are the things where I said that you want something, but then you're willing to sin to get it, or you're willing to sin when you don't get it. Okay? So we need to keep our hearts pure from idols. We need to keep our hearts pure from immorality. And we need to keep our hearts pure for Emmanuel. Just, you've got three eyes, okay? Idols, immorality, and pure for Emmanuel. Just think about it. He's our future bridegroom, isn't he? Remember, ladies, that the whole of this life is actually premarital preparation for that wedding. So we need to keep our hearts pure for him, don't we? Now, I think it was for Mother's Day, my husband bought me a mug, and I should have brought it, sorry. Imagine mug, okay? And along on the inside of it, it's got strips of different colours. There's a really, really, really dark colour, and then a slightly lighter colour. You've probably seen them slightly lighter. And it goes, you know, milky, English, builders, things like that. You've all seen those. And the idea is then that you can say, oh, I like it like that, and then they can make it the colour that you like it. Well, my father-in-law, Whenever you make his tea, you put the water in and the milk in, lots of milk. And then you get the tea bag and you go like that. That's all you do with the tea bag. Because he doesn't like much tea in his tea. Okay, what am I trying to say here? The more you leave the tea bag in the water, the more the water takes on the colour of the tea. So whatever lingers in your mind is what will colour your mind. Now that works both ways. If impure thoughts come into your mind, impure images come into your mind, and they linger, they will colour your thinking and they will colour your heart. But if that impure thought comes and you take that thought captive to Christ, if you weed it out, remember, if it's just, it comes in, you see it, here comes that impure thought, we're going to weed it out. Actually, just a personal testimony. Since I thought of that illustration of my mum, I've actually been doing that. If you ever see me doing this, that's what I'm doing, okay? Something comes into my mind that I don't want to be there, I'm going to say, Lord, I'm just going to, please help me just to weed that out, just take it away. I'm going to take it captive to you, forgive me for that thought, take it away, I'm not going to let it linger. And then it's not going to colour your mind, okay? But similarly, if you just dip in and out the word of God, that's not going to colour your mind either. Hold on for that, we're coming there. It matters what you look at, doesn't it? Watch what you watch, ladies. It matters where your feet take you, and it matters what your hands do. We read earlier from Proverbs 4, and we focused on verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. But then it goes on, put away from you a deceitful mouth, put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Don't fall into the lie that it's okay for me to look at this or read that or listen to that when you know that it's full of impurity. It's why you're already being attacked, aren't you? Do you remember those arrows? We've got the devil, we've got the world, we've got these internal sympathizers. Why add to it? It's going to colour your thinking. So remember that little T. What do you want your mind and your heart? Same word, remember? Mind, heart, all those things. What do you want your heart, your mind to look like? You want it to look like what's dwelling in there. So what is dwelling in your mind, in your heart? We need to keep our hearts pure. Now, 10 minutes walk from here, up the road, near where Lisa and I used to live, is a very famous graveyard with a very famous grave of Bunyan. And he is famous for writing The Pilgrim's Progress, but he also wrote another book that many of you may have heard of called The Holy War. Anyone ever read The Holy War? A few of us. Okay, The Holy War, quickly. It's about a city called Mansoul, okay? So basically, it's like all the elements of a man in one city. And then there's Diabolus, who's the devil that comes and attacks it and takes it over. And then Emmanuel comes and rescues the city. And the Holy Spirit comes to live in Hart Castle. And then it's this struggle that's going on. And the people of Mansoul realize that they're weak and that they're under attack. So they agree between them to keep a vigilant guard of the gates. So in the town there was ear gate and eye gate and mouth gate. And so the people decided we're going to keep vigilant watch on these gates, strictly examining all who come in and all who go out, because they knew that they were under attack. That's a good thing for us to do, isn't it? keep vigilant watch of our gates, to keep our hearts pure. Three other things that I just thought of to help you. If you're someone that struggles with purity, obviously think about that you're keeping yourself for your heavenly bridegroom. But remember to keep good company. Psalm 119 and verse 63. David says, I am a companion of those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. It's important to keep good company. Remember what we were talking about earlier, how one of the means that we have to fight against the attack is one another, isn't it? So if you're struggling, keep good company. Also, don't make provision for the flesh. Romans 13, 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. But also take action quickly. Remember, take radical action. Mark 9, where the Lord Jesus talks about cutting it off. If your eye sins, gouge it out. If your hand sins, take radical action. Take quick action. Think about it again as the weeding thing. Here comes the thought. Okay, don't settle it in there. You know, get the watering can. A little bit of water, a little bit of baby bio, you know, let it grow. No. Pluck it out. If it's already in there, dig it out. Okay? And keep going. Keep going. Keep going. And keep going. Keep going. Okay? Keep your heart pure. Secondly, keep your heart peaceable. It's a nice word, isn't it? Get to know Psalm 37. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Have you ever felt... I wrote here. Have you ever felt like there's a storm inside? And of course you want to sing that song from Frozen, don't you? But anyway, I'll try not to go there. But anyway, have you ever felt like there is a storm inside you? Yes? You need to ask the Holy Spirit to pacify your heart. Now think about it. Here's Spurgeon again. No voice but that which on Galilee's lake said to the storm, be still, can ever lay the troubled waters of a stormy heart. No strength but omnipotence can still the tempest of human nature. Isn't that lovely? There was the waters raging. There were his disciples fretting. He just spoke, and it was still. So keep your heart peaceable. Seek out the scriptures and ask the Lord to keep your heart in a peaceable state. Number three. This session is very quick because I want to give time for Jennifer. Keep your heart undivided. Keep your heart undivided. Now remember what we spoke about before the break, about surrendering everything to Christ and trying to get everything into one channel. Do you remember that? So have one object, one aim, one desire, and one channel. Because when our heart is taken up with that one thing, and our one desire is to honor and please him, then we will actually have joy and peace and hope and satisfaction and contentment. All those what ifs are going to find their fulfillment, aren't they, in Christ? It won't ever be, oh yeah, but you know, if only I had, or if only I had, or if only I didn't have, or because this is what the Lord has given you today, ladies. Whatever state you find yourself in is what the Lord has given you today. This is the day he's given you. Use it for his glory. So if you wake up today fretting about everything you haven't got, or everything you have got that you really don't want, you're missing the opportunity to bring him glory and to steward that weakness or that inability for his glory just as much as the abilities and the giftedness that he gives you. They're all things to be used for him. So take the things that you haven't got and say, Lord, how can I use that today to bring you glory? Keep an undivided heart. When we have a divided heart, when we're like, right, now that's half for the Lord and it's half for me. Well, it's never like that, is it? It's just like, you know, 8/9 for me, and then the Lord can have this little chunk here. I had a friend who was a missionary in Papua New Guinea, and they travel on water a lot because it's mostly just bush, and they travel in canoes. And she would say to them, don't have your feet in two canoes, because you're not going to get anywhere, are you? You know, one's going to go up and one's going to go that way, and you're just going to fall over and it'll be a disaster. So don't have your feet in two canoes. Have an undivided heart. So keep it pure. Keep it peaceable. Keep it undivided. Finally, keep your heart full. Keep it full. Full of rich things. Noble things, good things, pure things, holy things, full of God, full of his word. Now, I probably only know about half of you. I don't know what you're going through. Now, maybe today you are going through a time of being led by still waters and green pastures. But that won't always be the case. A dear friend of mine who I visited recently was suddenly plunged into a time of debilitating trial. And she said these words to me, you must prepare for your pain. I was like, oh. You must prepare for your pain. Ladies, whatever store of God's word and God's truth you have in your heart today about God, about who he is, about yourself, about who you are in him, about his commands, about his comforts, his promises, that is what you have to draw on in your time of testing. When you're suddenly plunged into a time of testing, that is not the time to start opening the Bible and what does it say? What does it say? Because your mind is reeling. You may not even be able to read. You may not even be able to listen to sermons. Fill up your heart, sisters. Fill up your heart. Fill it with his presence. Fill it with his word. Fill it with thankfulness. Fill it with love. Fill it with awe and reverence. And obedient desires and inclinations. We were once challenged by a lady who could probably recite most of the New Testament off by heart, Logan Carr. I was sitting there like this. She came up and she said that she just spoke the whole of the book of Colossians. And then she challenged us and she said, if you were to be put in prison for your faith with no Bible, how much would you know? How much do you know? No Bible. No little drawer with the Gideon's one in it, just handy. Nope, no Bible. But it may not be a prison, right? It might be a sick bed. It might be another form of trial. You can only have brought to your remembrance what you already know. So keep your heart pure, peaceable, undivided, and full. So, are you ready to learn how to fill up your heart with the word? Are you ready? I hope so, because right now we have a feast in store with my sister Jennifer, who's going to teach us how to fill up your heart with the word of God.